KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, first of all, happy Thanksgiving to you a day early.
Well, thank you. I brought a turkey for you. Yeah, but he keeps running around out in the newsroom. You'll have to catch him.
I thought it was my boss out there. No,
I'm kidding.
Boy. Come on.
Hope that's recorded somewhere.
Oh, it's right there. Oh, geez.
Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. You know, the traffic out there is already insane. You know, I had to make a couple stops, and it's like bumper to bumper everywhere, and people cutting in and out of traffic, and I'm thinking, what are you people, crazy? Just stay in your lane, for crying out loud. You didn't gain that much.
I noticed a lot of them are from out of state.
Yeah.
They don't know where in that they're going.
Yeah, and Mexican license plates. We've already bought new cars.
They're always going south.
Going south. Anyway, thank you for listening today, I think, and this is a show of ideas for your yard and plants and questions. If you have a question, you can please call.
Please.
And 673-4464 is the number. And no matter what I'm saying, you can interrupt and ask the question, and I will have a conversation with you, okay? So, with that said, tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Hey. A day off in the middle of the week is amazing. But, you know, It's this week, tomorrow, and then very quickly, Christmas pops up.
Yes,
it's amazing
is.
How short of a time it is between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
And then New Year's.
Yeah, and then you're slogging away through January.
Yeah.
Oh, man, January. If it was up to me, I'd take January off the map. I'd put in June instead or something like
Turn
that.
Turn it into July or something.
Yeah. So anyway, at any rate, we've got some busy days ahead. And to top it off, it is poinsettia time. Poinsettia, that beautiful kind of little shrub with the hot red leaves, and they're appearing in all the stores around, and even Wintergreen Nursery has them.
Oh, do you? I must be blind. I haven't seen any yet.
You haven't? They're red. Are you colorblind?
No, not that I'm aware of yet.
Oh, you must be. but they are the red-leafed Christmas plants that are just, I mean, they just pop up, and people just snap them up because they're, you know, middle of winter, cold, ugly, and there's these beautiful, you know, the leaves, the flowers are part of the leaf. The actual flower is very, very small, and it's yellow, and it's tiny, so that's not noticeable. But you notice the leaves. You notice how colorful they are.
Yeah.
And that's what attracts people. And they go, wow, I want one of them, you know. And but they're a bright spot for our homes now when it's cold and foggy and, you know, every day is kind of dreary almost. You need something colorful to just kind of bump you up and get your juices flowing. Say, hey, it's not a bad day after all. I got a poinsettia. All right. I'm good to go.
Now, are they poisonous?
Yes. If you I don't know that they'll kill you, but if you break the stem, they have a white pus that comes out of the stem. And it can cause burns, and you don't want to taste it at all because I don't know what it'll do. It'll make you sick anyway.
Wow.
But it can burn your skin.
Huh.
And you certainly would want to get it around your eyes or something like that. So
yeah, you wouldn't want to make a tea out of it.
Or no, that would not be a good tea plant at all. But, you know, I've seen them in stores and wondered where they came from. Where's the origin of a poinsettia? Where does it grow wild? And, well, I found out. Where
All right. Wild. China?
Yes. No, they don't. They don't allow them in China. but they were growing wild in the jungles of Guatemala.
Guatemala.
Hmm. And I've had, I think, 4 trips down there over the years. And where we always go is up in the mountain regions of Guatemala, about, you know, 5,000 foot elevation, 4,000 foot elevation. Jungle like out of the Tarzan movies, you know. I mean, amazing stuff. The stuff that we have for indoor plants here that only grow 3 feet here, they're 40 and 50 feet over there,
vining
up through the trees and stuff. But not the poinsettias, but they do get big. You know, No, there's different vines that just, you know, we have them, and you'll see them in different stores and businesses and even homes. And they'll get maybe 5 feet over time, and like philodendrons, for instance. But down there, I've seen them 50 feet in the air winding around these giant trees, and they just keep growing up.
Like my vine.
Yeah, exactly. Just like your vine. I think that's where your vine came from. Yes. But, yeah. On one of my trips down there, where we work on the mission stuff, is you know, like I say, high elevation, very very jungly. So after work, every day I would kind of walk down these roads, looking at the different plants, because of, you know, there was nothing that I knew actually. It's like being a whole different planet, for crying out loud.
Yeah, you got that one right.
Yeah, it was a different planet. And you know, we're down there working, doing medical stuff, dental stuff, and building things for the folks in there. And you know, because these people live in thatched huts in northern Guatemala, very very poor, etc., and all that. And it's a very wild place. I mean, it's extremely beautiful, but it's wild. There's not many paved roads at all, at all.
Wow. And are they like tribes or
communities? Maybe communities, not tribes. They're all Guatemalans, but they're, you know, they have their own little villages, and there might be 10 houses in a village.
Oh, okay.
And then 3-4 miles down the road, there might be a bigger village with 20 houses.
Okay.
There's a few, very few towns in northern Guatemala. There's one they call it Dodge City because it's kind of wild. and we went through there one time, coming back from a village, and I could tell. I don't know if I'd want to walk around here, you know,
or spend the night.
Spend the night out here. But it's a wild place, but it's extremely beautiful, and it's filled with monkeys and many wild animals. First time I was there, and this is not landscaping stuff, but the first time I was there, I'm laying in my sleeping bag, and we're sleeping in this old church, and the crew is, because that's where they put us up at. Mm. And I hear all this stuff. As soon as it's dark, I hear all this wild, it almost sounded like barking. And I'm thinking, what dogs won't, they are just going crazy. They just keep going and going. So I asked one of the Guatemalan guys the next day, I heard all this stuff last night, and they sounded like, I said, what are they? He said, monkeys.
Monkeys?
Yeah. And so from then on out, I listened real closely, and no way they're dogs, but I couldn't think of anything else. Monkeys are all hundreds of them. Just, going nuts, boy. They're just really...
Sasquatch.
Yeah, Sasquatches. But anyway, in the afternoons when we get off work, I'd take little walks down these little dirt roads. You see very few vehicles down in this area. You see people walking. A few of them ride horses, you know, and that kind of thing. And
so the air must be clean down.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous country.
Yeah.
I mean, you get up on, like I say, we're up, you know, say 5,000 foot elevation, and you can get a good view across the country, and all you see is mountains all the way to the horizon.
Wow.
I mean, and they're all green. I mean, nothing but, you know, only color is green, and the sky is blue, and that's it.
Wonder if they grow coffee down there.
They do.
Do they?
Oh yes, that's one of the biggest crops in Guatemala is coffee.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I love the place already.
And every time we'd go down there, we'd, you know, everybody buy whatever coffee they could stuff in their suitcase, you know.
Yeah, it'd be a lot cheaper, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. It is cheaper, but it's good.
I mean,
nothing like you ever tasted here, you know, in out of Safeway or something like that. Mm.
Or any other store. Yeah. We don't want to pick on.
Yeah. Well, anyway, taking my usual evening walk.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to identify plants, and then thinking, oh, I've seen that. That's a philodendron, but it's 40 feet tall. And I'm seeing this, and it's this big. And I'm walking by, and I see these tall shrubs. They're kind of brushy or not trimmed up or anything like that. And they're about 8 feet tall. Some of them, the biggest ones, 10 feet tall maybe. And they have red leaves all over them. On the tops, and I'm thinking, what in the world is that? So I broke off a branch just to see what the leaves look like, and they were wild poinsettias, just growing in the jungle like weeds.
Jeez.
And then as once I identified them, as I'm continuing my walks in different places every evening, I'm seeing them all over. They're just like rhododendrons in the North Umpqua, but they're, you know, wild poinsettias growing all over. And they're just big and brushy plants. And yeah, it's amazing. So what you get in the store is a descendant of those.
No, they won't ever get that big.
Not ours, no.
No.
And maybe if you put them, the problem is if you put them outside and you get a real
cold, hard.
They're toast.
They don't like that.
Right. But if you put them in a big pot and you had them protected from, you know, frost and stuff like that, they can get, you know, 4 or 5 feet. I've seen a couple 4 feet tall and about almost, well, probably 5 feet wide.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's good size.
Yeah, it was. But it's not its natural habitat, so consequently they don't do that. But here in the USA, they're the most popular holiday plant, I think. And in Guatemala, they grow wild in the jungle, and they don't even think of holidays when, you know. But if you treat them right, they can be a year-round indoor-outdoor potted plant.
Oh, okay.
And they're not difficult. They don't demand a lot, you know, just a little bit of fertilizer, a little bit of water, but they like warmth. They're obviously a Southern Hemisphere native.
Yep.
So consequently, they like a nice sunny window. And
so do I.
Well, yeah, I do too this time of year. But but they like a nice sunny window till, say, I don't know, April, May. And then if you pick up the pot, you can put it outside on the deck and or the patio or something like that, and it's good for the entire summer, and it'll do really a great job for you and just grow like a weed, which it is. Then as soon as the September, October, when it's getting cooler nights, they, you know, drag it back in and put it by your window again, and it'll just keep growing.
Maybe,
and you can prune them, but like I say, they got this white milky sap, and when you prune them, you should wear gloves. And just prune them. And one, there was a business here years ago that had a big one, at least one big one in their shop, and they wanted me to prune it. And so I read up about on them a little bit, and I cut it, and then, you know, the white sap starts running.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a cigarette lighter and cauterized. Every time I cut, I just cauterized and stopped the white sap from coming out, because if you don't, it'll lose all its vitality and die.
Oh,
you know, like say you got to make 50 cuts on a big plant or something like that, and every one of them is weeping.
It's going to bleed to death.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you do prune it, make sure you cauterize. As soon as you cut it, you cauterize it and stop the flow of the sap. It's a white sap of some sort. So, yeah. So about, you know, if you got it outside, like say, end of September, 1st of October, nice and getting cool, bring it in. And, you know, and to make it turn red, it has to have dark. Yeah, while it's growing outside, it's not, at least here, it's not going to get all those red leaves. So I'll tell you a little story about it, too, in a minute.
Shall we take a break and then come back?
Yeah.
All right.
Take a break.
Take a break, and we'll be right back
with
more Storytelling Time.
I got stories you wouldn't believe.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. What's our phone number, Mike?
673-4464 if you have a question. And make it an easy one, okay?
Yeah, after all, it's close to a holiday.
Yeah, really. Make it a holiday question. Anyway, I'm talking about poinsettias and their origin and how to keep them alive here in the United States, where it seems like they only have a part-time life, because they're beautiful right now when you buy them, and then you take them home, and a lot of people don't know how to take care of them, so consequently they turn kind of brown and die, you know.
It's too stinking cold.
I know, and I've got a story about that. I've killed my share.
Okay.
But like I say, October-ish, play the weather by ear and bring them back. Now, if you want them to bloom, if you want them the leaves to turn red, they need to do that in the dark.
In the dark.
Dark.
I do my best work in the dark.
Pitch black dark. And like from 5 to 8, 5 p.m. to 8 a.m. at night. And this will start the blooming process. And at the end of November, you can stop the darkness treatment, because they've turned their color and they're looking good.
All right.
But years ago, when I first started in this business, I made a mistake in the darkness process.
Oh.
Yes. I put my poinsettia, I bought one from my wife, and brought it, and it's beautiful, and I read this little bit about putting them in the dark, right?
Uh-huh.
So I, after Christmas sometime, I went ahead and put it in my kid's closet because it's dark. Right?
Okay. No window, no nothing.
Nothing. And the problem was I forgot about it until about March. And when my kids told me that there's a dead plant in our closet, why
dead,
is that?
Dead.
And my girls were, 5, 6, 7 at that time. There's a dead plant in our closet, Dad. Why did you do that? And then I remembered. Oh, no. And the leaves were not red. They were brown and crisp. And the soil was like the Gobi Desert. I had killed my poinsettia.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Mike. Here, you killed your plant. Okay. That's good. So, that's my poinsettia story, and I'm sticking to it.
To it.
Yeah.
Did you try your experiment again, though?
No, I never have.
Never have.
No,
okay.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not even going to give it a shot. I'm no good.
No spring surprise.
No. So, selling Christmas trees this time of year. Well, it's Christmas tree season, right? Well, that's what I used to do when I was a kid living in Butte Falls up on the mountaintop. I would sell the Christmas trees to loggers in Butte Falls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And those guys would buy them from me. And they'd pull their trucks in. There was a cafe, Scotty's Cafe, and it was next to the post office. So these big old 4x4s and log trucks would park, and they'd walk in and get their mail, and I'd be out there with my Christmas trees. And they'd buy them from me. Not everybody, but,
most of them.
Most of them did. I mean, here's a, fifth grader or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, here's this kid trying.
You were a cute little kid.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't a cute kid. I was little. And I had two sizes. I had small and large.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And a small tree was like 4 to 5 feet tall, and a large one was like 6 to 8 feet tall.
That is large.
Yeah. So we lived on a mountaintop with, 120 acre yard. So I had plenty of trees to choose from.
Oh.
And, I hunted around for the perfect tree, right? And from a logger's point of view, any tree that was green and had 4 or 5 live branches was a great tree.
They're not picky.
They weren't.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah. And anyway, I'd meet them at the Butte Falls post office and do the deal. And like I said, the small tree was 50 cents and a large tree cost $1.
Heavens to Betsy.
Yeah, I gouged them.
You did.
I gouged them.
Got them for inflation.
Yeah. But I would make about $10 and for my sales, and that was my Christmas shopping money.
Nice.
See, and we only had one store in Butte Falls. It was Butte Falls General Store, I guess it was called. And then I'd take my cash in there and do my Christmas shopping, because it was like not only a grocery store, but it had, small.
Like a variety.
Yeah, store. Kind of variety. It had a section of hardware and a section of, cutesy things and towels and food and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I would do and then spend my whole wad for my mom and dad. And because my brothers were too young, I didn't buy. Well, I think I might have bought them a truck or something. I don't know, for $1.
A little plastic one.
Yeah. But the thing was, I also tried to sell mistletoe. But the loggers don't need mistletoe. They didn't like it at all. So.
No, they got alcohol.
They said, "No, we don't want no stinking mistletoe. Take that away." Oh, gosh. But times have certainly changed, and you know, like at the nursery, we used to sell a lot of cut Christmas trees.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember that.
Yeah, and for 15 years, we did pretty well there with fresh cut. We'd go up and cut them ourselves, or we've got certain tree farms that would, you know,
wholesale or whatever.
Yeah, wholesale to us, but they would have them cut, and by the time we got there, we'd load them up in our trucks and take them back, and used to flock them. And had a flocking machine.
Oh, that's a lot of work.
That was, and they were more expensive. You know, so many dollars a foot because that flock is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother choked to death trying to with all that white dust flying around his head.
Oh Lord!
Yeah. So, like I said, for you know about 15 years, we did pretty good, and we'd sell about maybe 50 trees would be a good December for trees, and we try to get all sizes and different varieties. We have sheared Doug fir. Some people like that sheared look, and some would like just a natural look. And then we have grand fir and a few noble firs and things like that.
Those are the spendy ones.
Oh, yeah, they were. And because it takes so long to grow, you know.
Mm.
And then we used to sell live potted ones, you know. In other words, it's in a pot. You can mm-hmm. take it home, use it as your Christmas tree, and then plant it in your yard in the spring.
It'll be there forever.
Yeah. And then you got many stories about, and the kids were 4 or 5 mm-hmm. when you had it, and now they're 25, and I'm going, wow, that tree is 40 feet tall. What happened to our Christmas tree?
Take a picture every year.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, here's what changed this whole thing.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. The fake trees from China hit the market.
China.
Yeah. It hit. I mean, basically it did. And you know, the cut tree sales, you know, began to diminish. And
all because of China.
Well, yeah. But everybody liked those. They've already got the lights on, and you just go and pick one, put it in a box, take it home, and plug it in, and there it is.
Voila.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess that's progress. I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
But,
takes a whole family to do that,
I guess. Yeah, select the right one, huh? But and that's been true in not just our market, but everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you used to see a lot of Christmas mm-hmm. tree farms. Boy Scouts are selling
sure.
them. Sure. Old Fred Curry, he used to have down there where the library is now. He'd have before the library was built. He had a big tree lot down there on that corner. And he'd flock trees, and he had, you know, different colors. You could flock them white, pink, or blue.
It's a good location.
It was an excellent location. And plenty of parking because it was a vacant lot. Mm-hmm. There was no library there.
And going in and out of town. You
yeah,
know.
And they messed it up and built a library.
Bang.
And put a light there. You know, what the heck? But Fred used to sell a ton of trees because of the traffic there. Gosh.
Oh, yeah.
And but
even back in the good old days.
Yeah, yeah. And we still sell small potted Christmas trees because there's a certain percentage of the population out there that wants a live tree. They just don't want a tree to, you know, put up and then put on the burn pile.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a few. The problem is if you get them too big and you got to have a big pot because they have a big root system.
Yeah.
It takes two men and a boy to pick them up and load them and take them home and carry them in the house. So, you know, a medium size or a smaller tree is something that people will be more prone to buy. And mm-hmm. Especially if it's an older couple, you know,
that, sure. Yeah,
they just want and something to plant or just keep in a pot for a while, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
talk about during the summer. What's that over there? That's our Christmas tree.
Yeah, that's right. And I did it for a few years before I owned a nursery. I would do that, and I have a story about that. But if you buy a potted Christmas tree, there's a little more work to it. Live trees are, like I said, heavy and not easy to handle,
mm-hmm.
and they can't be kept in the house for 2 weeks because it's too hot and too dry, and
yeah.
they'll start budding up. And if they start, the juices start to flow, and they become, you know, they think it's spring inside your house,
uh-oh.
Then you put them on the patio, and it's 30 degrees, and you kill the whole process right there.
Lordy.
So you gotta know when to put them out and where to put them and that kind of thing. So. But if you only keep them in the house, say, a week, They don't bud up, or they don't
get used to their surrounding,
right,
or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Right. And but they need to be kept damp, and the bright, like I say, the bright side is you plant it in your yard and it grows for, you know, 100 years or whatever, and it makes a great story for your children and your grandchildren. Say, yeah, see that old big old tree, we had that in the house at one time.
Old grandpa did
that. Yeah, old grandpa's lying to us again. We couldn't get that big tree in that house.
Yeah,
honest,
yeah.
We did. It was a smaller tree. But so we still seal the living trees, but like I said, we keep them small because of the weight, mm-hmm. because the large potted ones can weigh like 70 to 80 pounds, you know, in the pot with the tree and the soil.
Wow, that's,
and all that.
That's a
I
good
mean,
weight.
Yeah, you just don't pick it up and walk in the house with it. So it's a two-person job at least, or
yes.
something with a dolly that you could take in the house, and then you put mud all over the rug and your wife shoots
you. Oh, they love that.
Yeah, they love it, all right. But or you can leave it on a deck. If you have a deck that you can view from your living room, big windows or something, you can leave it on the deck. Doesn't even have to come in the house. And you can decorate it with the lights, et cetera, and enjoy it, and you're okay. You're good
Believe
to go.
It. Yeah.
That's the one that's going to really, really make it and not have any really problems. And the first time I tried a living tree, it was prior to my nursery life.
No, I won't ask you.
Don't. Whatever it was, don't ask me. But I was living up in Blue River, working, doing the watershed work that I was doing.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and we rented a little house right on Blue River,
mm-hmm.
and there was a couple of acres that went with it. It was full of Douglas fir trees. It was a forest. It was a perfect little place to live. And so I thought, well, rather than cut down a tree, I think I'll dig one up and put it in a pot, and we'll bring it in the house, and then when Christmas is over, I'll just replant it. You know, that's where I first got that idea in my head. So I dug it up, and the problem was the forest soil was a little loose.
Uh-oh.
So when we grow them out at the nursery, when you dig them, the soil structure is such that you dig it up and it's in a ball. Soil is in a ball, it doesn't
right.
fall apart. Whereas in the forest soil, it was loose, mm-hmm. loose, rocky, you know, a lot of vegetation over the hundreds of thousands of years that it was growing in. And so I dug this dude up and the soil fell away from the roots. And I went, oh man. So I quickly put it in a pot and got a whole bunch of soil and stuffed it in there, and I thought, well, and watered it real good and let it set outside for a night. Then I moved it in the house, and it was green, and we decorated it, and you know, my idea was when we're done, I'll go out and replant
it
right? Yeah, put it back.
Put it back.
Well, the problem was, since I had destroyed the root system when I dug it up, within about a week, the little needles started turning brown and falling off.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and by the end of the Christmas season, if you will, most of the needles were on the rug, and the tree looked like it had been run over by a semi. I mean,
it was naked.
It did not make it. It did not like it. And
oh, no.
But like I say, you can't keep a well. First of all, you got to get a tree that's been properly harvested, dug properly, which we know how to do now. But I didn't back then,
right?
You know, but anyway, but and then if you get a live tree, you just want to put it in the house, maybe 5 to 7 days max.
Okay,
you know, so some people like to leave their trees from Christmas to, you know, after
Easter or whatever.
Yeah, April Fool's Day or something. But it's better, like I say, 5 days, you know, put it in the day before Christmas or 2 days before Christmas and then take it out right prior to New Year's or something like that and stick it outside.
Mm-hmm.
And don't put it put it near any heat source. You don't want to. You don't want to have it next to a radiator or a air.
Those suckers will go up.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
Yeah, you don't want to do that, and you want to keep the soil damp but not soaked. And when, like I say, putting it outside after, you know, it's successfully made it in your house, you want to protect it from frost or snow for a while. And if it's cold, you can put it in the garage You know, near a window, it'll survive. Or if you got a shed, and maybe leave it in there for 7 days, 10 days, whatever. And as the temperature warms up a bit, and we know that there's not going to be a foot of snow the next day, you can go ahead and put it outside and let it acclimate outside.
Yeah,
and it's good. And it can stay in a pot for months until you get around to planting it in your yard.
Sounds good.
It can stay in a pot for a year, for crying out loud, and as long as you take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the sooner you plant it, the sooner it roots out, and the sooner The stories begin to tell your children and grandchildren.
There you go. We'll end it right there for now.
Okay.
All right. What's on the other side of the break?
I don't know.
Okay. Stay tuned.
I haven't got that far yet.
93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Just doesn't make any sense.
No, it does not. There's a lot of things that don't make any sense, but,
But our show does.
It's the only thing that makes sense. You're dealing with living trees and things. Anyway,
things that are alive.
Alive, and keep them alive. That's what I'm trying to tell you folks out there. I know how to keep things alive. You know, if you do listen to me and do what I say, you will have good success with your trees.
Absolutely.
Okay. But anyway, I was talking
about... What's our phone number for you?
Oh, another time? 673-4464.
We haven't gotten one call. They're probably out Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, they're shopping.
Shopping?
Yeah. You go out on the street, you'll see them.
All over. I was out and about a couple of hours ago, and Mamma Mia.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like I said earlier, some of them were from out of state, and they had no clue where they were at.
I saw several out of state. I saw quite a few Californian ones and a few Washington ones. I think I saw a Colorado one, too.
Yeah.
But
I think I saw a South Dakota or something. She pulled right out in front of me. I blew the horn at her.
Yeah. Well, one tried to do that to me here not too long ago, about 2 hours ago. And going to pull right into the side of me. I beat my horn. I said, baby, you better move over, honey.
We don't do that in Oregon.
No, we don't. But anyway,
with
these potted trees that you plant out in your yard, and they grow and they look good, and they, like I said, a lot of memories in there, that's good. And once planted, you can decorate it every year. You can put lights on it, and it'll shine and look good until it's about 30 feet tall, and then you can't get up there to the 30-foot mark, so you're going to have to quit.
Mm.
But anyway... A little bit of a change of subject here. I think I got some time here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
About 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, I'll speak slowly. You know, last week I spoke about the new owner of our business, mm-hmm. and her name is Jennifer Johnson. Nice lady. Good
Can
lady.
We call her JJ?
I guess, but she might hit you. But, she's just a ball of fire. I mean, she loves the nursery already, and she's done so many things in the week that she's owned it, or week and a half that she's owned it. And she's in there decorating for Christmas, and one of her decorations, we had this old bathtub in there with the cloth foot bathtub.
Oh,
the
yes.
Old-fashioned
yep,
one.
Yep, yep, yep.
And my folks, my ladies in there cleaned it up over the years, and got all, it was kind of rusty or
sure.
moldy or whatever.
Yeah.
But they cleaned it up, and it's white, and they would decorate it a little bit. Well, Jennifer comes along and likes the idea, so she put some building blocks under one end and tilted it up in the air, and then she bought a fake Santa Claus at one of the stores here locally and stuffed him in there with some pillows. And I mean, it's a big Santa Claus. It's not just some little doll.
Not a blow-up doll.
No, it's like a full-size Santa Claus. And then you push the button, and he goes, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. And I thought, geez, Louise. It's just one of the many things that she's doing.
Changing.
Changing, yes. I mean, we decorate for Christmas, but we've never been quite that extensive with blow up Santa Clauses and stuff to talk. But
that's funny.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, she's really a ball of fire. She's a very hands on lady and good personality. And when come in and meet her. And
I can't wait to meet her. She won't come in here.
I know. I'm trying to drag her into the show so she can brag about herself.
But,
yeah, you know, come
on. Was that supposed to be a chicken?
I know. But, like, she has a sister-in-law that's going to work with her and an uncle, I believe. And
cool.
And a brother-in-law. And she walks them all the way around the nursery, all through the fields, and she's got plans for everything.
I mean, nice.
It's, you know, I'm pleased that someone that enthusiastic bought the place,
mm-hmm.
because she's going to do very well. And we're, like I say, hanging in here kind of part-time for the next 4 or 5 months, maybe six. And making sure she knows where to get stuff and who to see to buy trees and who to see to buy mm-hmm. this and that. You know, just kind of give her all the information, because you can't just throw it on her all at once.
No.
You never remember it.
Oh,
but,
Lord.
Yeah.
That's like throwing somebody on the board here without no training.
Exactly. Like throwing me in here and saying, oh, gosh, well, fix it, Mike. Run it. You know, right. I have no desire.
No.
There's 100 buttons I'm looking at least.
At least,
yeah. And they all mean something.
They do. That's what they tell me.
No. Good. But anyway, she's really getting in, with the Christmas stuff, and you know, but Santa Claus in a tilted bathtub, I've never seen that before.
Uh-oh.
And it's amazing. So with the poinsettias and the potted Christmas trees, we've got a lot of smaller trees that are potted that are Christmas trees. You know, they're, you know, 4 to 5 footers or 3 to 4 footers that would be easy to handle. And you could, you know, if you wanted to, you could buy 3 of them and put them in a grouping if that would turn you on. But the big ones we decided, you know, I've got some bigger ones in the field. I didn't even dig them because I know they'd be, like I say, 70 to 80 pounds each.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And
neither one of us are young anymore.
No, I don't think so. But Jennifer has a lot of plans for, she wants to do an event center right behind our main building.
Nice.
With music and coffee and, you know, that kind of thing.
Cool.
Her attitude is definitely a people person,
mm-hmm.
and she has had several businesses. Maybe she still has them down in California that she ran for a lot of years. So she's very business oriented, but very friendly,
mm-hmm.
and we're teaching her about plants and how they grow and what they are and where they'll work.
So she's not your typical Californian.
No, oh, gosh, no. You wouldn't think so. She was born in Roseburg, actually.
Oh, well, there you go.
And then,
see? One of us.
I know. And after she grew up, she went to San Diego for some reason.
Why?
I don't know. Business, I guess.
Oh, okay. You know?
But I took her up to a landscape job up in by the Dogwood Motel yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And these houses had burned down across the street from them during the big fires. And this one client called me 6-8 months ago, and they had just rebuilt their brand new home there. And they wanted a consultation and talk about landscaping and all that. So mm-hmm. one thing led to another, and I planted a few trees for them. And one thing led to another, and they said, well, can you draw us a landscape plan? And I said, sure. So I took Jennifer with me yesterday. I've been up there, you know, 3-4 times. And I took her up and showed her what we do and how I measure it out and the types of plants that'll work there. And it's right close to the highway, mm-hmm. of course, so there's noise from logging trucks, but that's where they lived all their lives, but that's they're used to it. And you know, what would work here and why it would work there and what it would do. And so she is really interested in making things beautiful and making things happen.
Mm.
So that
and work, make them work.
Oh yeah, make them work. And
all right.
And that's but her attitude and enthusiasm is great, and you will like her when you come in and meet her and talk with her. You will like her. And my daughter Jill, who's been running the nursery outside for what, 20 some odd years now. She's going to stay on the staff, and she greets people. And you know, the funny thing about Jill, occasionally when I'm there, stopping in, and she might be busy somewhere else, and this has happened to me several times. People come up, and I say, "Hi, can I help you?" And this one lady says, "No, I want, where's the blonde girl? We only work with her."
Oh, no.
I said, "You mean my daughter, Jill?" "Yeah, Jill, where is she?" And then I'll signal to Jill one time, like, "Jill, these folks want to see you." And Jill comes up and says, "Oh, hi, Alice and Bob, how are you?" Knows their names, knows their life story. And they give each other hugs and stuff. And then he goes off and she sells them a bunch more plants. Jill will remain on staff, and so will my florists, and my landscape maintenance crew will
stay
on staff.
Good, they'll still have a job.
Oh yeah. And I'm going to just be a consultant.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm part-time on my own time.
Oh, not on the payroll consultant.
No. I'll be a different business.
Okay.
I will rename me as something else. I don't know what yet.
Consultant in charge.
Yeah, just a landscape consultant.
That's
all. And I'll draw some plans. No digging big trenches for sprinkler systems anymore, or planting trees or moving trees.
That is a welcome relief.
Yeah, it's what you call easy going.
Yeah, you deserve it, pal.
Yeah, you got a break?
We do.
Okay, we'll get back.
We will be right back. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back for our final segment before Thanksgiving.
Final segment, and then we're going to eat, huh?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Boss bought a lot of pizza in the break room there.
Ooh, doggies.
We're ready to roll.
Well, I just want to wrap this up today. I'm not going to quit the radio show. I'm still going to continue to come if they want me. And
we want you to.
No, you don't. You're just saying that.
but I can't say what I wanted to on the air. But
never mind. But at any rate, I wanted to take this opportunity to thank all of our clients over the years, mm-hmm. and our customers for their business, those many years that we've been there. And it was always our goal to have high-quality plants, high-quality advice and service. And I think we fulfilled that goal.
I believe so. Have accomplished.
After 50 years in business, it seems strange to face semi-retirement, whatever that might be. So, like I said, I'm going to remain as a landscape consultant and designer under a different name. But I'm going to still dabble in it. I have an office out at my house and with my drafting tools and drafting table and all that, so I can help people out in that respect, and I'll maintain the radio show and answer anybody's questions, and I'll have a different name. I haven't figured out what my different name will be.
Bob Cool.
But because I'm still licensed and bonded and all, you know, I got all the legal stuff, and so I don't want to have to let that lapsed and go all the way back through that process again.
No.
But so I'm going to maintain that. And but, you know, you can still call the nursery and they can contact me. You can talk to the new owner and you want to talk to me. Well, she can, you know, buzz me and I can contact you and help you out in your landscaping or answer your questions or, you know, give you a tour or whatever of some landscaping, that kind of thing.
Cool. You're still going to be around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's just not a full-time job, you know, and my 60-hour weeks are going to disappear.
Well.
Yeah, and I'll still do the rodeo show.
Yeehaw!
The radio show and write articles.
You'll be riding those Broncos.
I know, just at a slower pace. And again, I just want to thank everybody that was listening and have done business with us for Everything over all the years, it's been a pleasure to work here in Douglas County, and it's been a real learning experience from a people perspective, a plant
thank
perspective.
Thank you, sir.
And everything else, so I appreciate it. So, anyway, that's all. That's all I'm going to say.
We got over 2 minutes yet.
Over 2 minutes? Okay, ask me a question.
Well, you were talking about Christmas trees earlier.
Okay.
And flocking.
Yes.
I got to say that properly.
Yes.
I ran into someone the other day, and they didn't know what a flocked tree was.
Uh-huh.
And I just wondered, you know, how long have you been around here? You know, it just surprised me. Somebody didn't know what that meant. I don't know.
Well, you know, not everybody gets a flocked tree, but,
no.
You know, it's, but if you've never done it before, you go, what's that? I don't know. And then you see one.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, okay, you put white stuff all over it. It looks like a snowstorm or a blizzard hit it.
Okay, well, I don't know.
It makes for a different look. And
yeah.
But
makes
nobody,
for a messy.
But there's nobody around anymore that flocks.
Well, flocks, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys don't do it anymore.
No. I mean, since the fake trees have come in.
China.
Yeah, we don't. There's no call for it.
Mm.
You know.
It's a shame.
It wasn't a big industry, but it was a.
It was there.
It was a service kind of thing, and we made a little bit extra money per tree on it, and we delivered them. You'd have to put them in these great big plastic bags, you know, and so you can't just throw them in a pickup truck. So you got to put them in a big plastic bag and then haul them. Usually we delivered them a lot and delivered to, you know, whoever bought it. And or some people, when they order their trees, they say, well, bring a truck or a trailer because, you know, it's going to be this, this, and this. And so that's how all that works. It's not a quick thing.
No, but
and that's it.
That's what a flocked tree is.
Yes, yeah, and it comes in many colors. I've seen them. We only did white ones, but I've seen them pink, blue.
Painted.
Yeah. Right.
All righty. Well, we'll catch you next week.
I will be here, and I don't know what I'll talk about yet, but I'll be here. How's that?
Maybe Jennifer will be with you.
Jennifer.
Isn't that her name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jennifer.
We'll meet her tomorrow.
Hopefully.